Yeah, I saw this too. I forgot to mention it because it's really easy. You just hit a button and it gives you a prompt to talk about, essentially. Now, there are some grammar issues on here. Like, I just got one that says, show of your favorite Pokemons. So it's not exactly perfect. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Gaming Careers Podcast. Good morning for me. Good afternoon for most of the rest of you in the rest of the world. Like Pete here. Pete's coming over from the UK. Pete, how you doing today, man?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, mate. It's been a bit of a cold weekend over here in the UK. We got some snow, which isn't that frequent for UK weather. Usually December, January, February are the months where you could get some snow. But yeah, it's been a very cold weekend. How about you over in the States?
I wish we had snow. Not quite so lucky over here. It's still pretty warm. Thunderstorming right now as we speak. So I'm crossing my fingers that we don't lose power during the show. But otherwise, not bad. Just kind of rainy overall. But maybe you'll see snow soon. We got a good bit to talk about this week in terms of topics. I think one of the things that we wanted to talk about that we did not have a chance to yet is the Stream Elements report that came out at the end of last year. Basically, just kind of recapping the year. And we did this a little bit ourselves in the podcast already, but it's much more data focused. So I want to talk to that a little bit. That sounds good. Now, they do focus mostly on Twitch and Facebook statistics and don't really cover YouTube as much. But still some pretty cool stuff to see. So some of the takeaways that I saw from this report were just chatting was by far the biggest watch category on Twitch. I'm just not really surprised if you've been watching for a while, but still the numbers are crazy. Almost 2 billion hours watched of just chatting is 1.9, and League of Legends, the second category, was 1.4. So quite a big lead over the second biggest category. I thought that's pretty crazy, and I personally think we'll keep seeing that happen with just chatting. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think part of the reason of them like trying to split just chatting into multiple different categories is because it encompasses so much now. 1.9 billion hours watched. I mean, if you had asked me before the report came out what was the number one category, I think pretty much anybody with any industry know-how would have gone with just chatting. A lot of streamers now, even when they're game-focused streamers, will spend the first hour and the last hour in just chatting and actually update the category as well. Because I feel like that's really what viewers want now, is the connection to the personality that's streaming and to chat about topics that interest them and common interests between the two. Yes, there's a lot of game-focused streams where people want to watch to improve or, you know, watch their favorite personality play a game, but it's more invested in the personality now rather than in just the game that they want to see played. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that it's number one. I think maybe just the gap to number two and number three is what is surprising, and I wonder if it's going to become, you know, the common thing is like people talk about Twitch as a game streaming website, but we're seeing it now being a lot more than that, and it's whether they can carry that across all the different niches. You know, if we look at YouTube, people are streaming in so many different niches now, and it's whether Twitch can also lose that tag that it has of being a game streaming platform and encompass a lot more.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they're trying to do a lot of in the next coming years. They've been trying to do this for a while, but it seems like they can't really quite break out of the gaming niche yet. But I agree, just chatting is kind of built into every stream at this point. Most top streamers have some just chatting, so I guess it's no surprise that it's the top, because regardless of what your main game is, you're fitting just chatting in there. So it's going to inflate that category quite a bit. But to your point, I was still surprised to see League of Legends at 1.4 billion and then Fortnite in the third position at 900 million. So League of Legends also still has a pretty big foothold in terms of just, I believe, watch hours over the year, which is pretty cool. Valorant also is number five. So for a game that came out this year to already be in the top five is pretty impressive to me. And I think we'll probably see that keep happening. Was there anything else that you saw in this report that kind of stood out to you looking through some of the data?
I think what I always look for in these kind of reports in the data is just the industry growth. So like you said in the intro, they didn't really cover YouTube too much. I don't know if that's because the statistics are harder to get or if we're going to see another report come out which encompasses YouTube as well. But for Twitch, in terms of hours watched across the whole year, in 2019, it was 9 billion hours, and in 2020, it was 17 billion hours, which is a growth of 83%. Now, how much of that is down to the pandemic? I don't know if you caught the graphs that are in the report, but there's such a notable spike after March. It's actually crazy. Like it basically goes about five times higher from March onwards and then kind of tailors off. But I think both Twitch and Facebook Gaming had their biggest months in December 2020. So maybe it's here to stay. Talking about Facebook gaming, 2019, they had 1.35 billion hours watched, and 2020, 3.59 billion hours watched. So 166% growth. Again, it's hard to take these stats without the pandemic into account. We don't really know what that means when people do eventually return back to work and more traditional jobs. But yeah, at least the numbers are going upwards in the right direction.
Yeah, something cool to me is that I think we know at this point that everything spiked pretty hard right when COVID really hit and the quarantine, right in like the March to May timeframe. But what's cool to see is that we're actually at the peak right, well, in December of last month. That was higher numbers than the quarantine stuff. So that's pretty exciting to me. I think this always happens actually around the holidays. If you look at some data, it seems like people are searching for Twitch and spending more time watching stuff during the holidays. But still, I'm excited to see that we're not kind of already peaked out during this whole thing, that we still have potential to go up. So hopefully we'll see that. And the other thing is, this only covered last year, 2020. It did not cover January, which means I don't think it includes GraphG's stream and some of the other big events that we've already had. So like Tommy Innit, who we're going to talk about in a second as well. And I think some of these categories probably have already changed. So I think Valorant had the biggest peak watch time, but that probably would have changed with GraphG's stream having already happened in January and some other things around CSGO like that. So I'm curious to see how this changes, but overall, just pretty good outlook for the future, even moving into 2021, I think potentially topping 2020 with viewership. I think it probably will.
Yeah, and this is exactly the point I'm trying to make, that you can look at these graphs and see, oh, great, like 80% growth on Twitch compared to last year. But without the context of the pandemic, it's difficult to really know what has truly grown. And it's exactly the same as what we're going to see when we see the Q1 report from 2021, because the GraphG's stream broke so many records and, you know, most concurrent viewers on the Twitch platform as a whole. It's probably going to skew the stats for Q1 as well. So you've always got to take a little bit of context into looking at the data, I feel like, because yeah, Q1 of 2021, I imagine we're going to see like Fortnite and the GraphG like absolutely dominating the stats. But whether that continues through the whole year or not, it remains to be seen. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about Tommy Innit had a breakout stream. Well, not a breakout stream. He's actually been consistently hitting some pretty big numbers. But I think he now holds the record for the third highest stream on Twitch, which happened in the last week.
Yeah, I believe so. This is crazy. Tommy Innit, he peaked over 650,000 viewers on Twitch recently, which is a huge number. Of course, we just talked about GraphG, so not quite that level, but still puts him in the top three, I believe, streams on Twitch in terms of viewership. And so it's just kind of crazy. He streams a lot of Minecraft. And what's crazier to me is if you look back at his streams over the last couple weeks, this isn't really like a one-off type of thing. He's been pulling 200,000 plus viewers consistently for like the past 2 weeks, which is crazy. And I can't really think of many other streamers or events like this. You know, I think XQC is probably getting close, but not quite to that level. And if you look at some of the big events in the past, like Ninja streams in the peak of Fortnite, he was never really pulling those numbers every single time he streamed. It was usually one-off events with Drake or his tournament. So it's kind of crazy to me. I think Minecraft is just exploding right now with these kind of streamers breaking out. So again, shattering records already here in the first month of 2021. I thought it's pretty amazing. Did you have thoughts on seeing all this happen?
Yeah, I mean, I always look at a couple of things when I see like something like this going around the streaming Twitter world where people are talking about it. And that is the streamer, the country, and the game. And for this, I feel like Minecraft has just been a huge game on YouTube for the longest time, like VOD format videos. But I never really see it in like the top three, four categories on Twitch or on live streaming platforms. So yeah, this was kind of eye-opening to me that, like you said, for the last 2 weeks, he's consistently sat at over 200,000 concurrent viewers. And maybe that doesn't seem like a lot when we've been talking about 2.5 million records and things like that. But 200,000 concurrent viewers on an average for the last 2 weeks, that is an unreal amount of viewers. So I know that there's a lot of drama going around the Minecraft community right now with the speedrun records, like if they're real or not. And so I don't know how much of that he was covering, because I don't follow the game Minecraft, if you hadn't already told. But yeah, certainly an interesting creator to keep an eye on. And like you say, he now holds that third spot for most peaked viewership on Twitch. And there's like quite a few around that 650,000 viewer peak, isn't there, now? Because that's roughly where Drake and Ninja's stream was, but I think he has beaten that.
Yeah, it seems like that's sort of the big number for most streams, except for Gref G, because he's just a different animal completely. But for whatever reason, that's a huge event point for viewership, is around the 650K range. He did beat out Ninja. I think, looking through the data, he was the eighth biggest stream of all time for both Twitch and YouTube. So again, it's kind of crazy to me that we're only 1 month in here to 2021, and we already have two records broken in terms of just big streams. So that's why I think we'll keep seeing this happen. I know, so speaking of some of the Minecraft drama stuff, I know there was some also discussion about streamer ages, because I believe Timmy is pretty young. I don't know.
Tommy, right? Age.
Tommy.
Is it Tommy? Sorry. Timmy.
It's Tommy in it? Tommy? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know there was some discussion about that in terms of Twitch maybe not always being so consistent with their rule about being 13 to be on the platform, and some people who aren't quite there yet who are still streaming and pulling these big numbers, and some just double standards there. Did you see any discussion about that as well?
No, I didn't really catch that, but it's an interesting point, isn't it? Because we're going to keep seeing younger and younger creators grow on platforms like that, because the viewership there is from younger watchers as well. So, yeah, it is an interesting point, but no, I haven't seen much discussion about it.
Yeah, we'll see. I want to keep an eye on it, because I feel like Twitch is probably going to make a response about it in the coming weeks. Again, I don't have the most information on all this. I just know there's a lot of discussion about Twitch maybe not being the most consistent. So we'll see if they come out and say something. But awesome stuff just to see Tommy kind of break out like this. Speaking of, I want to cover this really quickly, of Twitch having issues with double standards. You might have seen C9 Zico over the last week. He was banned from Twitch and was not given a reason as to why he was banned. And there was a lot of outcry from the community about, you know, giving him a reason why he was banned. Specifically, I saw Code Carnage and XQC kind of just at Twitch, like, where's his answer? You know, I get a timestamp for when I get banned. I know exactly why and what the reason is. This guy knows nothing, and it's his career. So he actually did get unbanned last night, thankfully. I think probably because of the outcry, and I don't know if he would have gotten unbanned without it, frankly. But just kind of interesting. People kind of compared this to, you know, the Doc ban and how he didn't really have info, apparently. Still a lot of mystery on that specific ban, but this is not a case where someone really had no idea why, and they could just kind of guess as to why they were banned. So I'm glad to see Twitch took action and at least reverted it, but I kind of wonder how often we'll see more of this thing happen in the future.
Yeah, I didn't really follow this as closely as you did. I jumped into the Reddit thread this morning and saw somebody had posted that he'd been given a 7-day ban, and he was eventually unbanned 6 days and 6 hours into the ban without a reason. So essentially the exact same as him waiting the full 7 days. Like, it doesn't really make any difference. I don't truly believe that Doc doesn't know the reason he was banned. I reckon he's just not telling people. Maybe there's a legal issue and an ongoing lawsuit that's going to happen. But yeah, this clearly looks like somebody doesn't know the reason behind a ban, and that's a problem. Like, people should know what they've done to break the rules or what they've done to deserve a ban, because, like you said, it's a legitimate career now for big streamers like Zico, and they deserve to know why they're being punished and what it was for, because it could well be for a legitimate reason, but if there's no reasoning behind it, then it's hard to make sure something like that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think XQC brought up a good point by just saying that this kind of thing can really kill your career very quickly, because I think his quote was like, you know, streamers' relevance dies overnight, which is a pretty potent way to put it. If you lose a week of a ban and you can't be streaming, especially as a rising streamer, then I think it really can hurt you. And if you don't know why you're banned, then what are you supposed to do to fix your issue and get back to streaming? So hopefully we see less of this and just more communication from Twitch. I know, again, I think we saw quite a few kind of ping Twitch and try to have them hold them more accountable as to why their reasoning is, but I just hope we don't see more of this. And I do agree, I don't think Docs is quite the same, but just a kind of good comparison as to rumors of this kind of thing happening in the community of the last couple of months.
Yeah, and it seems to me, I think, that partners have a partner manager. I know that partners do have a partner manager on Twitch, but I think each partner manager is probably responsible for over 100 different partners. So XQC might just have a different partner manager, somebody that really, and he's one of the biggest creators on the platform, so he probably does get special treatment, but it shouldn't be like that. If you're a partner and you've signed the same partner contract, then you should have the same ability to find out why decisions like this have been made. Whilst we're on the topic of Twitch, there was the special crazy event this week, the Twitch participation ceremony. It was hyped up. It was drummed up to be this amazing live stream that you should definitely tune into. I caught the VOD. It was basically a recap of 2020. And without blowing my own trumpet, I think we did a better job of recapping 2020 on the podcast than they did in their Twitch stream. Did you manage to catch any of this? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I skimmed through it. I was kind of excited for it because I didn't know what it was when it got announced, but watched the VOD and it was pretty straightforward. Like you said, really just kind of a celebration of the last year, I guess. I mean, it was not bad. I think it was cool to celebrate some of the people who had big moments, like Tim the Tapman's Fall Guys moment and AOC on Twitch and all that kind of stuff, which, again, like you said, we did cover ourselves on the podcast a couple weeks back. But it wasn't really that exciting to me. I think maybe it was just a cool moment to bring the community together. No real news announced, no real... I guess they did some awards voting, but I couldn't even figure out who won the awards. I don't know if you saw anything there. They announced like all these clips and said, vote for your favorite. And then I never saw any votes come out as to who actually won. So
by far the funniest moment of the whole weekend or day-long stream, whenever it was the announcement of the winner of the most raids performed in 2020. And it was given to a user called Electrical Longboard. And that user is a bot account which just raids channels. So like Twitch is there like hyping up this person, like, how have they managed to do 1,000 raids in a year? Like they must be giving out so much love to the Twitch community. And then like anybody that has any know-how is like looking up this person and just seeing it's a bot account that errs people continually. So that was really funny. It got memed on a lot on Twitter, and it just kind of shows like, if you're going to work out these awards, at least do like a little, just a tiny bit of research behind the account that has won different things. Because yeah, giving an award to a bot account, that's, it's going to be one of the top fails.
Well, and these were streamers handing out the awards, right? Like they had people actually come on the show and host it. They had to have known who these bots were because they're literally in every channel on Twitch. If you look at your viewer list, they're always there. So I don't know. I feel like no one doesn't know that those are bots at this point. It was just kind of tone deaf in my opinion, but. Oh, well, I guess give bots the words sometimes. You have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the two Twitch events that I have, I wouldn't say tuned into because I didn't watch either of them live, but I caught the VODs of this one and the GlitchCon that they did before. And I think GlitchCon was actually an okay event in terms of they tried to do what they could with the restrictions of the pandemic and make something that was fun to watch. I was just annoyed that they didn't announce more things, but maybe I'm unique in the fact that that's really what I want to go to like the GlitchCon announcement for, is to see what Twitch has been working on and what's coming out over the next year. And they didn't really announce that, but it just feels a bit like this one, the participation ceremony. I don't really understand what the purpose of it was. I know that they wanted to look back on some of the cool moments of 2020, but it just didn't feel like that entertaining to watch. And I'm kind of thinking like, what viewer is actually sitting through this like 3-hour live stream watching 5-minute interviews with various streamers, probably of which they've never heard of, giving little bits of advice and things like that. I don't know. It just didn't appeal to me anyway.
I mean, I think honestly, it kind of felt like a marketing thing, in my opinion, because they really focused on, again, just celebrating the year. Again, I think there's probably some value to at least showing like the cool moments of the year, but really they just kind of showed the top clips, a lot of diversity. They talked about charity, which is all cool, but in my opinion, it looks a lot better in a press release or a news article to say, look all the good things Twitch did this year and talk about that. I think that's probably more of what it was, because I agree, I was not really that interested watching it. They didn't even really bring a lot of top creators on there from what I saw, the host or anything, or talk about, like, I would have loved to see some of the breakout streamers come on there and talk about how they broke out or just host the event even. Not really much of that either, so... Not that exciting to me, but I guess it's something to talk about for us, so can't complain there.
Yeah, they're giving us news to cover on the podcast, at least, yeah. in a relatively small news week of January, which seems to be the case. The other couple of bits that I saw was basically some esport news. Both Epic Games, who are the studio behind Fortnite, and I can't quite remember who makes Call of Duty nowadays, but the Call of Duty League, I think it is, have both announced some pretty big prize pools for esports. I know Fortnite especially gets a lot of flack for its esports scene, and Epic Games not doing much for it. So an announcement of $20 million, I think it is, for esports in 2021, which I think is pretty similar to what it was in 2020, and it's still not as big as they had the 30 million prize pool in 2019, which is the one that Booga won. But yeah, some news in terms of esports anyway for fans of Call of Duty and Fortnite. But yeah, I feel like these numbers of huge prize pools, they get dwarfed every year by the Dota International tournaments anyway, when it's like $50 million prize pool for a single tournament. So,
right. Yeah. And the community can contribute to that to make it even bigger too at the same time.
Exactly.
I do want to say, I think it's funny that I think these both got announced on the same day for both Epic and Call of Duty. So Call of Duty did 5 million while Epic did 20 million, which kind of, it almost seems like they waited till COD released it to just say, hey, we're going to put up this prize pool that's four times as large as yours for Call of Duty and just make Fortnite four times bigger. I thought that was kind of funny, but it may not be related. I'm not sure. In any case, it is really good to see so much support from the industry for these events, especially because it's a big draw for people to get into the pro scene. And of course, for pros themselves, it's a lot of reason to compete and to sustain yourself as a pro or as an org. So pretty cool to see. And I think you're right. We'll see more of this from other esports too, from Dota, from League. I'm sure it's not going to get any smaller this year for those types of things. Again, probably some breakout games this year too with Valorant and CSGO. I know CSGO has really had a revival recently, so I wouldn't be surprised if pretty much every esport across the board is doing pretty well in 2021.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing like a wider cast net in terms of the amount of games that have big prize pools now. So, you know, 10 years ago or whenever, when it was really just like StarCraft was the only game that had any kind of prize pool money really behind it. And now you have so many different games, and even games that are basically exact replicas of each other, like Valorant and CSGO are probably both going to have amazing 2021s. And essentially the skill set behind both games is very, very similar. So you're just kind of doubling the amount of players that can turn professional. And esports is always going to directly feed back into like the Twitch ecosystem, because it's bringing more eyes to the platforms. Those people that maybe watch a big tournament then filter down to watch some streamers that play in that game, or some professional players that then stream in their spare time. And like, it always filters down. So it's no matter what you think about esports, whether you watch big tournaments or you really just watch like creators on Twitch, I think it's always worth seeing these like big investments by companies into their esports scene, because it eventually will just trickle back down into the live streaming industry, and more investment is always going to be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The more support we get for esports overall, the more interest and just awareness for Twitch and streaming there will be across the board. A couple other things I want to talk about here, just really quickly. I was looking at Rust to see, I like to see how these trend games are doing over the next 30 days or so. It looks like Rust is already starting to fall off pretty hard, actually, with viewership. Now, it's still getting quite a good bit of viewership, but compared to where it was, I mean, it was hitting peaks of like 800,000, a million people watching. Now it's down to about 150, 100 even, so almost like a tenth of the viewership, it looks like. I don't know how much longer Rust will stay, but it seems like it has a shorter lifespan than Among Us already. And so I'm kind of curious to see what people are switching to. Obviously, Minecraft is doing really well based on Tommy's stream, so maybe there'll be some movement there to sort of more of that sandbox thing. I've even seen people going back to Among Us with proximity chat, things like that, which is kind of surprising. So we'll kind of have to see what breaks out on Twitch next, or if Rust can kind of stay relevant for a while. But I think we probably will see a shift in the next couple weeks here to something different taking over Twitch. I don't know. What do you think?
I think we've mentioned like a couple of weeks ago on the podcast that games like CSGO will just always have peaks and valleys throughout the year. When a big tournament happens, it will go to the top on Twitch when that tournament is online. And that's exactly what we've seen. Whereas games like Rust are, they will have their moment in the sun, or like not every game will, obviously, but Rust has had its moment where it was the number one thing to stream on Twitch, but it's fallen off fairly quickly. And I don't really see that happening multiple times throughout a year like it will for an esport title like CSGO or League of Legends or Valorant or any of these games that have like huge dedicated esports scenes behind the scene, where viewership will peak because of a tournament being on. So yeah, looking at the stats, it looks like CSGO was definitely one of the most viewed games this week, but that is because there's been a big tournament going on, so people quite easily sit and watch 6 hours back to back of competitive titles. So obviously the watch time in terms of hours is going to go up with that.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think we'll see more of that happen with the tournaments for sure. And Minecraft, again, is in that fifth spot over the last 2 weeks. So maybe Minecraft will keep breaking out. I've been pretty happy to see the crossover from YouTube and Twitch, by the way, on Minecraft. I've seen a lot of people who are YouTubers spending a lot of time streaming Minecraft on Twitch, or even like Donkey. You know, a lot of these big YouTube names that are crossing over to Twitch is pretty cool to see. So I hope that we see more of that, and more of that people moving back and forth between Twitch and YouTube, and it's not so, you know, choose one or the other. A lot more collaboration there. So that was cool for me to see, and I hope we see more of that in the future. There was one more thing I want to talk about, which was on the Twitch subreddit. Just something cool to talk about. Someone actually put together this generator for, if you guys have ever done mixed reality, it's basically the concept of green screening yourself into a game. So for a VR game like Beat Saber or something, you can almost put yourself into the game so viewers can watch you as a character in the game while you're playing in VR. It's a little complicated, but basically someone built a program that will scan yourself, take a picture of yourself, I believe, and then create an avatar for you to put into the game, which is pretty cool, and it's open to anybody if you go check it out on the subreddit. If you have access to AR VR streaming, I think this is super cool because you can kind of create your own avatar instantly and put it into the game and just offer something very unique, because you know, you're always trying to stand out on Twitch and do something different. So this is a very new idea, I think. It could really be something new to bring to the stream. Did you have a chance to take a look at this really quickly?
I'm going
to
ask you a couple of questions about it, because the augmented reality, is that what you call it? What did you refer to it as?
I believe it's mixed reality. Yeah. Yeah.
So the games that I've seen streamed or on YouTube, Beat Saber is like the classic example. So usually if you're watching somebody play Beat Saber, you just see their point of view, like from their eye line looking forward of them swiping the big blocks and dodging the big blocks and things like that. And then mixed reality is when they have basically a green screen room, a camera in the corner, and then the point of view that you're watching is no longer from the person's point of view, but it's sort of from a bystander in the corner of the room. So you actually see this person's full body, but the blocks are still coming towards the person, and they're dodging and swiping and all that kind of stuff. So it takes you out of the point of view of the player and puts you like into the room as if you're watching as a spectator. And then, so this next step would be, instead of seeing video footage of a person playing the game, it would instead be replaced with an avatar. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. No, I actually hadn't seen it done with an avatar before, but yeah, basically it's as if you as a viewer are in the room watching the person do the thing, sort of almost like you're in the game potentially, watching over their shoulder, sort of, which is really interesting. And again, it's very different than what you've probably seen on Twitch before, but it could be pretty exciting. I think the benefit of an avatar is that you don't have to have like the headset on. You can actually see their face still, and it's supposed to look just like you, so it feels very similar, almost like the VTuber type of thing. But that way it's like, it's, you're not restricted by your cables as much, and hopefully like there's no green screen issues going on. So I just thought it was really cool. I haven't seen people use it yet, but really good reception so far on the Twitch subreddit. So I would definitely check it out if you're into VR streaming and have that capability to do that.
I think it's going to be interesting, like what happens to the VR space with Twitch and things like that, because it hasn't blown onto the market like a lot of people predicted VR would. I'm just talking in general in gaming. But it also hasn't been like a fad that's disappeared into the essence. Like people are still buying VR headsets and games are still being developed like for VR. So yeah, it's an interesting topic that we could probably dive into in another different podcast where we go into it in more detail. But I've always thought, like, what's going to happen here? You know, are we going to be all watching VR streams in 10 years time, or is it going to have disappeared and people are just used to what we're watching right now? But yeah, with apps like this, definitely going to be more applicable to people that are doing VR streaming. And like you said, it was so heavily upvoted on the Twitch subreddit that clearly there is an audience for it and enough people either want to use it or want to see it on other people's streams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, I would love to talk about a whole podcast or something about VR in the future, because I think that's going to be huge, not only for streaming, but for esports and for just the game industry in general, once we kind of hit their breaking point. Love talking about that stuff. So we should definitely do that at some point. But if you guys have questions or thoughts on VR too, definitely let us know. Maybe you've done VR streaming. We'd love to hear about your experiences there too. And talk about that, because I've never done a VR stream, but it seems like it'd be kind of fun to try out, especially with this kind of thing, if you have access to it. So
I'm going to give a second shout out from something that I saw on the subreddit. I know I didn't write this down, so this is a surprise to you, but it was a few days ago, and it was near the top. It might have been the top post on r/Twitch or something like that. somebody's built a website, which is livestreamideas.com. And it is essentially just a collection of questions or ideas of things that you can discuss with your live stream audience. So especially if you're a small creator and you think, you know, I want to do a 3-hour live stream, but I run out of things to talk about because my chat isn't active enough for people to be, you know, like asking questions every minute. So it feels like I'm just, you know, either sat in silence or just running out of ideas of what to talk about. This is basically a website that just gives you a reel of different ideas. So you can literally just click a button, show me the next idea, and it'll literally be like, read a story about one of your pets that you remember, or play a weird game online, or show a video that lives rent-free in your head. Like ideas that you can definitely spin into a 20-minute conversation with your audience, or even a small audience. I thought it was a cool little website. I know it's something that smaller creators struggle with. So that is livestreamideas.com. Not sponsored, just a cool website with a cool idea behind it. And hopefully they keep adding to the database of ideas of things that you can talk about.
Yeah, I saw this too. I forgot to mention it because it's really easy. You just hit a button and it gives you a prompt to talk about, essentially. Now, there are some grammar issues on here. Like, I just got one that says, show of your favorite Pokemons. So it's not exactly perfect, but still, like, it gives you enough to base off of. And I think people are adding new ideas pretty constantly here. So one of the best things you can have is just something to spark your discussion on the stream and just keep that going when you have a dull moment, or you just feel like you've run out of stuff to talk about. This can kind of help spark that, which is super helpful.
And you don't need to be using it on stream. What I would recommend doing is maybe just 5 minutes before your stream, go through, hit the next button a few times, write down some of your favorite questions on a sticky notepad or just on your desktop somewhere. And then you have, you know, 10 topics that you can talk about on that stream. Even if the viewer interaction isn't there for people to constantly be asking you questions, because I've said this in so many YouTube videos, but maybe not as many times on the podcast. People will come onto your stream and leave within 7 to 10 seconds if you're not talking or saying anything interesting. So that's a really difficult situation to be in as a new streamer when you don't have anything to talk about because you have no viewers. Somebody comes into your stream, you don't know that they've arrived at your stream because it's literally just happens for 7 seconds and they leave because you're not talking. So you have to just kind of talk to yourself and make conversation with yourself even when you have no viewers. And I think a website like this is just like a cool little way to give you some prompts about things that could be interesting for you to talk about, and all you really need is to be interesting during that time when somebody stops by your stream, and then maybe they'll stay and ask you a question, and then a natural conversation comes up and it doesn't have to be quite so rehearsed or planned for.
Yeah, exactly. The more you can just keep talking, because like you said, it can be 5 seconds and you'll never see your viewer count move, but that was 5 seconds that if you were talking, that might have been there about something interesting. I know even for me, like, I don't even talk as much in chats often. I'll kind of just wait and see what it's about before I jump into the chat. So it makes sense that you just want to keep some conversation going and then give people the option to jump in when they want to, when they hear an interesting topic or just feel comfortable enough after being there for a while. So I think that's most of the stuff for this week. Anything else that you want to mention before you kind of wrap it up here, Pete?
No, but one thing that we discussed at the end of last week, well, I think we actually probably did it off air, was it would be quite nice to start to take some viewer questions into the show. And maybe we could do like one question a week at the end of the show, where we dive into a topic that, you know, somebody wants to know a little bit more about. And it's maybe not relevant in the news. So we're not talking about it normally, but it's a relevant question from a streamer. So yeah, we need to figure out a way of submitting those questions. So I guess for the first week, we could just do it over Twitter or YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, post a comment down below about a question that you have, or tag either me or Ben on social media. Yours is _BenjaminGreen and mine is @GamingCareers. So tag us with a question. We'll pick one or two for next week's video, and then maybe we can make that like a reoccurring theme where we discuss like one question from the community at the end of every episode. But yeah, that's it for this week. We will see you again next Wednesday. Thanks for everybody that's watching and listening, and yeah, we'll catch you next week. Peace.
See you guys.